From 94.9 KUOW Seattle, I'm Dave Beck. When Leroy Bell was 13 years old and living on an army base in Germany, he received his first guitar. He loved music, but when he looked around at his family, he didn't see any other musicians. Then in the early 70s, when Leroy was 15, his family was transferred to Fort Lewis. It was up here that Leroy finally got to know his grandfather, who used to be a doo-wop singer. Leroy loved hearing there was another musician in the family. Then Leroy's grandfather told him about his uncle, Tom Bell. Tom was a songwriter and producer in Philadelphia.
It was like I struck gold. I couldn't believe it. Somebody that was actually a professional, well-known, successful, already in the music business. I had no idea.
Mm-hmm. Why hadn't your father said much about him?
You know, I don't know if it was... same father, different mothers, mm-hmm. So they weren't super close.
I see.
But I don't really know. I don't know if it was because he knew that's the way I leaned and he didn't want me off running around.
Yeah, right.
Or what, because I remember specifically my dad wanting me to be a dentist.
Okay.
He said, you'll never be out of work as a dentist.
You went back to Philadelphia and your uncle mm-hmm. introduced you to the music business
yeah.
in an extraordinary way.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I remember walking, getting to his house, and then we're going into the studio the next day. And he's got a pretty healthy work ethic. He was always in the studio by 9 or 10 o'clock in the morning. And we'd walk through the building. The building they had was PIR, Philadelphia International Records, which was already going pretty strong in the 70s. And this is the early 70s. And they had people like the OJs, the Spinners, Lou Rawls, Teddy Pendergrass, Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes, everybody. And a lot of these people were in the studios. So I'd walk in with him and he goes, hey, meet so-and-so. And it's just one of the OJs or something. And I'd go, can I go get his autograph? And he'd go, when you're with me, you're a musician. You're just as good as them. You don't ask him for an autograph.
Baby, so they give you everything, darling. All the joy money can bring, baby, till they bring you happiness. Darling, you're no different from the rest. Can't you see that it's love you really need? Take my hand and I'll show you what a love could be. Before it's too late. Yeah, mama, no. Giving up, baby, baby. Mama can't buy you love. Mama don't want you. Daddy don't need you. Give it up, baby, baby. Mama can't buy you love. No.
That's Mama Can't Buy You Love, one of Elton John's hits from the late 1970s. It was performed in our studios by Leroy Bell, who wrote the song. The bass player was Terry Morgan. Leroy wrote a series of hits for Elton John. He also had his own top 20 single in 1979. It was called Living It Up, Friday Night. Leroy's recording career came to an abrupt halt after that. He switched record labels in the hopes of generating even more hits and sales, but the switch was a bad decision.
The way you know you don't have a hit anymore and that you don't matter is when nobody picks you up at the airport and they say there's rent a car and nobody calls you back. You know, and I think that just kind of hit us kind of hard. We were a little naive and bought into the everybody's your best friend. But that was show business. When we got back here, I think I was in denial because I thought I was too good to play in local bands or do that again because I felt like I'd been there and done that. So for a long time, I resisted playing music and I just kind of gave it up a little bit. A few years later, I got back into it.
Yeah. What got you back? What was the turnaround?
Somebody had asked me to come out and play drums with this band. I hadn't played drums in a while, and I'm a drummer as well. And I like to play the drums. And I thought, what the heck? It's got to be fun to play some music again. So I went out and heard these guys and felt like a good fit but it was just, casuals and weddings, and it was just a cover band. And it took me a few years to get into a cover band and realize, oh, okay, now I'm playing in a cover band, you know. I actually had a great time because I ended up being in that band for nearly 20 years. And some of the guys in the group ended up being my best friends. So,
you talk about getting back into songwriting. Mm-hmm. And in fact, we're going to have you do a tune that kind of speaks to that period where you were turning things around after mm-hmm. Coming to grips with, we're not chart topping anymore, but we're working, gigging musicians. Mm-hmm. How did that unfold?
Well, you know, I was listening to music, and I remember one album that was a Sade album that I had heard. Something about it sparked me into writing again. I just thought, you know, if I could just do something acoustic and mellow and just write for myself and not worry about, you know, trying to get the songs covered by other artists. I just figured that if I did it for myself and if nobody liked it, no big deal, because it was for me.
Sometimes I feel invisible to you, and you don't want me around. Sometimes I feel like no matter what I do, I'm a stranger in this house. And I don't know if this is just my imagination playing tricks on me again. You ought to know by now you're my destination. You will always be my friend. I'm a little moody sometimes. I'm a little crazy sometimes. I'm a little childlike acting in my way. But I don't always show what you really want me to know, because I do appreciate spending time.
Spending Time, a tune written and performed in our studios by singer-songwriter Leroy Bell with bassist Terry Morgan. In 2011, Terry suggested that Leroy should think about auditioning for a new reality TV show.
Terry, by the way, watches a lot of TV. he watches a lot of singing shows and reality shows. And I don't. And I'd seen American Idol a couple times, just like blips of it. But it was never my thing. And he says, well, you know, Simon Cowell's doing this great new show. It's going to be huge, bigger than American Idol and all this stuff. And I'm going, but why are you telling me? Usually it's always 30 and under, and I'm way over that. And just a reality show, it just seemed out of nowhere. How am I going to do that? And I just dismissed it, and I just went, nah. And then I think I saw a couple of commercials for it, like a few days later, and so the good old internet, I went and searched and found out some things about
it. Research, yeah.
And I went, huh, this is supposed to be pretty big, and I thought that you were able to play your own songs. And so that was a plus for me. I thought, oh, wow, there's no age and I get to play my own songs? Hell yeah, I'll do it. You know, and I figured if I got on TV one time and somebody heard one of my songs, it could do me no wrong, you know? And so. Yeah.
What's it like to be a seasoned musician with the kind of track record that you'd had up to that point, especially, you know, with the successes in the 70s? Mm-hmm. I mean, what kind of attitude and mindset do you take in going to?
Well, you know, I and some people said, well, you've got that track record and you've got that experience. And I think experience helped to a degree, but at the same time, I think it was like starting over because I was in a total different medium. You know, reality TV is not like just putting a band together and singing. You're everything, they tell you what to do. And it's not only just about singing, it's about TV. So it's like this weird world all its own. I felt like I had to conserve energy to keep up with these guys, these kids who are all over the place, you know. But I learned a lot of stuff. To me, it wasn't being competitive with somebody, but being competitive with myself. It was just pushing myself to do things I hadn't done before. Mm-hmm. You know, to do a rehearsal, then do a live TV thing. I've played live many times, but not in front of 10 million people. You know, all of a sudden singing somebody else's song. So there was a couple times when I had to pinch myself.
How do you think you're a very different artist in person after the X Factor experience and at this point in your career after the years of the pop tune success and the roller coaster ride. I mean, how has that all changed you?
Well, it's just given me a perspective. I think I'm more comfortable with myself now than I was ever was before. And the one thing that the being on the show does for you is increase your confidence. I think a lot of times being a songwriter, I was more of a songwriter than a performer. Could just stand up and play my guitar and sing and close my eyes and hope everybody else feels what I feel. But I think I learned to keep my eyes open and to actually engage the audience and feel comfortable about it and not like pulling teeth where it used to be. It's great. I think I enjoy it live performing more than I ever have before.
Does music have a different place in your life, or do you look at it differently, regard it differently somehow?
No, I don't regard it differently. I just realize more than ever that that's who I am. And to do anything in music, I feel very lucky to be able to do that and make a living, because it's what I love to do, and I can't imagine trying to make a living doing anything else.
Sometimes I feel like I'm all alone. I get lost and I can't find home. I look around for familiar faces. I get blinded by the empty spaces. You know a change is coming. Yeah, change is coming.
Change is coming, performed in our studios by singer-songwriter Leroy Bell with bassist Terry Morgan. To find out more, go to KUOW.org. Tim Meinig and Rob Springer engineered our music. For 94.9 KUOW, I'm Dave Beck.
Yeah, change is coming. You know a change is coming.